I'm Coach Seb, and this is Running New Mexico. My guest today is Lexi Caller, former La Cueva standout, 2018 6A high jump state champion, held La Cueva school records in the high jump and long jump, currently a CSU pentathlete, recently finished third place in the pentathlon at the Mountain West Conference Championships, earning all Mountain West honors, and that score was seventh best all time for CSU. It's a lot of stuff.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me your time. There was a lot of things in there. Are there any accolades I'm missing?
In high school, I did also run the 400, so that was one of my good ones in high school too. High jump was definitely my main one.
What got you into running?
So originally, I played soccer. And I did club and travel, and that's what I initially wanted to do in college. So I was going to all these ID camps and traveling with my club team, and then track kind of did it for fun. Like my sophomore year, I tried a little bit of high jump, I did some relays, and then started getting more serious about it my junior year. And that's when I kind of noticed that I did have some talent in the sport. And so I started training a little bit harder my junior year. That's kind of when I saw my talent show out. And so I started kind of being more serious about track then. And then by the time it was my senior year, I decided I wanted to do it in college. So.
Well, that's pretty cool. I feel like there's a lot of runners who go from or come from soccer and end up enjoying their running time just because it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I would say in soccer, I honestly was not that skilled, but I did have the build and I had the speed as a striker. That was very helpful, but I never really had the skill. So I think that seeing that I had the natural physical ability in soccer, it definitely helped me with track and stuff.
And so you said you played striker. So I know a lot of middle distance or distance runners tend to play kind of midfield because they're running around like crazy. Is it slightly less continuous running as a striker?
Yeah, I would say striker is more of like an explosive quick speed position. So I did play a little bit of wing, which involved like mid wing. So that involved a lot more endurance, which I did not love, but striker was fun because you kind of got to hang out a little bit and then you'd sprint when you needed to. So I think that's when I saw my speed come out a little bit.
That sounds like it would translate pretty well to the 400.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Did you do club track during club soccer during track season?
Yes. So because I was so invested in soccer, I had already paid for the clubs and done all this traveling, so I wasn't like quite ready to let go of it. So I still did club soccer while doing high school track, and it was pretty difficult at times. I would go from track practice at 3 p.m. till 4:30, and then I would go to my club soccer practice down the street from 5 to 7-ish. So some days it was pretty tough, but I made it work out. And honestly, I think both of them kind of helped each other. So my track helped my soccer and my soccer helped my track. So that's the year that I did both, my junior year, that's when I had the most improvements in track. So yeah.
Well, that's good. I know that there are a lot of track athletes that try to manage both sports, and it can be pretty difficult. But like you said, you can get a good build off of each one of them to have improvements.
Yes, I agree with that.
When you were at La Cueva, Chicharello was your coach, and he's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. He worked pretty well with your schedule. I mean, because I know we've had conflicts at my school where the track meets and like travel meets for soccer kind of coincided.
Yes. So especially my sophomore year, when track was kind of like an extra thing for me, I was just doing it for fun. I always told Coach Chicharello, I was like, soccer's my priority. I'm here when you need me and when I can be there, but soccer will always be the priority. And he kept telling me, I think you have a future in track, Lexi. I think you should maybe consider doing track. And I was like, no, like, doing soccer. But eventually, I kind of noticed that as well. And I started balancing them both a little bit more. But yeah, my junior year was quite tough, kind of going back and forth. But both of my coaches were pretty reasonable about it. And I was able to do both, which was good.
Yeah, I also know that Chicharello really incorporates that jump roping skills into his training program. Is that something you still kind of incorporate into your routines? And how beneficial did you find it?
Yeah, so it was definitely a love-hate relationship with those jump ropes. I never wanted to do them in high school. I was like, why are we doing this? But I really think it helped, actually. We used to warm up. We did a bunch of different jump roping drills, and then we would run jump rope laps. We would run full 400s with jump ropes, and it was tough. It was really hard on my legs, on my arms. And we would always complain about it. But honestly, I think that really helped me with the 400, actually, because you do feel that kind of burn at the end of a 400 in your arms and your legs. And so at the time, I thought it was kind of silly, but I actually think it was very helpful. And I still incorporate jump roping into my warm up. And I still think it's very helpful. But I was not always a fan of it in high school just because it was tough.
He did a demonstration at a coaching clinic this year, and he had a couple of his current runners go and demonstrate. And it definitely seemed difficult, and you could tell there was a love-hate relationship with it for sure.
Yes, definitely.
You know, what took you to CSU?
So, actually, when I was in the process of kind of finding schools for soccer, I'd been talking to a few coaches, like the New Mexico State coach and UNM, and something kind of, like my junior year, I started having more success, and my friends on the team were talking to me, and they were like, have you ever thought about doing college track? And I was like, oh, heck no, like, that sounds so hard, and like, no way. And at the time, I didn't even love track. It was just kind of a good way to keep me in shape. But because of my success, it kind of motivated me a little bit more. And so I think it was at the beginning of my senior year, I was kind of tired of soccer. And so I just started emailing like every coach I could think of for track. I emailed every school in Texas, every school in Arizona, every school in Colorado, California. Like I was just like sending emails to so many coaches. And at the time, I was a 400 runner and a high jumper. So I was like, hey, like, I run the 400, I do high jump, like, what can we do with that? And so I think within a few days, the Colorado State coach, Coach Bailey, he was the multis coach out there. He reached out to me and he said, I think you would make a great multi. Like, do you want to come visit? And I didn't even know what that was. I was like, what is a multi? Like, what is a heptathlete? And so I went out there for a visit, and still I was like, okay, so am I doing high jump in the 400? Like, what am I doing? And he kind of talked to me about the multi and said, like, I think you would be really good as a multi-event athlete. And so after that visit, I mean, I loved it there. I loved the team. I loved Colorado. And so I was set on it. And that was like, a lot of people were telling me to wait and not commit right away, but I just like had a great feeling about Colorado State, so I decided to sign within like a week after visiting.
Wow, that is quick.
Yeah, it was quick. It was very quick, but I'm glad that I did it.
And so, how did you go about when they were saying they wanted you for multis and you're ready within a week? Like, were you already planning, like, okay, I got to learn how to throw now and I got to learn how to do hurdles? Or what was that process like in your head?
It was, I mean, I was ready to take on the challenge, definitely. And because track was so new to me, kind of, I was ready to learn these new events. And so that, I think I signed in November of my senior year. And then that winter break, I started throwing shot put with Coach Ciccarello. I started long jumping, throwing javelin with our other coach. And it was definitely frustrating. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to hurdle. I like, am I in over my head with all of this? But I'm glad that I kind of got a feel for each event in high school. I didn't really compete in each event in high school. I never hurdled in a race. I never threw javelin or ran an 800. But I think that just having a tiny bit of background in it helped me going into college. It was still different, definitely pretty tough going and starting to train with all of these different events in college, but I'm glad I kind of started a little bit in high school.
Right, I'm sure. Did you try it out at the Great Southwest at all?
I did not. I was going to, and then I did not end up going. I kind of went into college just with my high jump and my speed, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna start learning all these events. And I did actually, my senior year, I did do long jump, and I did have some success there, but my form was terrible. Like, I don't know how I jumped as far as I did, but yeah, so.
We don't really do multis here. We don't, except for when we host the Great Southwest. So, not a whole lot of, I think, high school runners really know what the heptathlon or pentathlon are. Like you said, you didn't. Did you ever feel, because there are other states that do offer it in high school, at least some version of it, did you ever feel behind any others that had that more experience while you were training?
Definitely. Yeah, going into college, almost every multi that I competed with or competed against had been a hurdler since they were like 14. And like, here's me, like, still trying to get over the hurdles. So I definitely felt like I had a disadvantage there. But for me, it was also an advantage because I wasn't tired of the sport at all. It was all like brand new to me, which is fun. Like, learning, like, every meet I went to, I would get a new PR because I'd never even like done shot put or anything like that. So in a way, I still do feel a little bit behind a lot of the athletes just because I don't have the years behind me. But I also think it's an advantage because I am fresh in the sport. I'm enjoying it. It's not like a job for me. It's very fun for me. So
What event was the hardest for you to learn?
I would say javelin, and I'm still struggling with javelin. I don't think I've learned it yet fully. But javelin's a tough one. Also, the hurdles were pretty tough. I mean, my first year doing them was very frustrating because I felt like I would do well at practice and then I would go into a race and jump like 5 feet over the hurdles. And so now I'm still learning them, but I feel like I have them under my belt a little bit better. But I think the toughest for me right now is still javelin. It's very technical, and I don't have the technique yet, so.
Yeah, I know when I've watched our kids practicing, trying to get that form down is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I feel like with that many events, you definitely have people that are more well-rounded in the pentathlon or heptathlon, but I feel like you probably feel more confident in certain areas. What areas do you feel like are your that do you feel like you're the best in?
I would say probably jumps. So long jump and high jump, I feel pretty confident in, or at least compared to the other multi girls that I compete with, I usually place higher there. Also, the 800 is one that I'm good at, which is kind of unfortunate because it's not a fun race to be good at. But I mean, I've learned to love it. And I've learned to love the pain of that race, but I usually will place top three in that in the 800 in a multi, whereas hurdles I'll be seventh or eighth. So I usually do best there in high jump and long jump.
The 800 is definitely, I think, like you described it, the herd of that race. It's not quite a distance, not quite a sprint. It's just right there in the middle, enough to keep you killing yourself.
Exactly. It's not like the 200 or the 400 where it's fast and it's one and it's done and you don't really have time to think about it. It's like you think about the pain the entire 2 minutes and 25 seconds or whatever it may be. You are fully aware of what's happening to your body during that race, which makes it fun.
Absolutely. You talked about, learning. The hardest learning curve has been javelin. Do you consider that like your toughest event still?
I would say technically, yes. As far as technique, it's very tough. Physically, I still think the 800, physically and mentally, the 800 is probably the toughest for me, just because it takes a lot out of you, and none of the multi ladies love running that, but we all do it. So it's a tough one, but yeah, I think javelin is probably the hardest technically.
Is the schedule for the multis the same at each meet? Like you have certain events first and then last?
Yes. So for the indoor pentathlon, it's always in the same order, and same with outdoor heps. So the indoor pent is just on one day. So you do all five events on that day. And so you always start with hurdles, the 60 hurdles, and then you go into high jump right after. And then you take a little rest off your legs for a little bit and you throw shot, which is always nice. That's usually when you can like kind of have a snack in between the competition. And then you go into long jump and then the 800. And so yeah, that's always the order, which I mean, I love that order 'cause it takes about 5 to 6 hours and 'cause each event takes about an hour. So I think yeah, I think that's a good order that they put it in there. Then the outdoor heptathlon takes the course over 2 days, and it's a similar order, same events except for you add the 200 and you add javelin. And so you'll have four events on the first day. It starts with hurdles, you go into high jump, and then shot put and the 200, and then you go home, go to sleep, wake up the next day, and you do you start off with long jump, which is pretty tough because your legs warming up for long jump the next morning after four events is usually the hardest part. I usually warm up for like 2 hours before long jump to try and get them moving. And then after long jump, we got. Did I get that order wrong? No, I didn't. After long jump, you do javelin and then you do the 800. So yeah, it always stays in that order.
Well, that's pretty cool. At least you know like exactly how to warm up each time and what's coming up next and all of that.
Exactly, yeah.
And I guess it makes sense that you would do hurdles on the freshest legs since you're jumping over things.
Yes, that's probably the safest way to do it.
But I bet that like you talked about the mental toughness of that 800 and knowing it's the last thing, you've done all these jumps, you've done the hurdles, and knowing you've still got to go out there and run the longest race of these events.
Yes. Definitely doing an 800 after outdoor heptathlon rather than an indoor pent is harder because you've been competing for 2 days and your legs are tired. So it's pretty tough. I've ran an open 800 before And that's definitely like so much better just because you're fresh and maybe it's your only event of the day, but having kind of the mental strength to be ready for that race after competing for 5 hours is pretty tough. But we all do it and we all get through it. So, but yeah, it's pretty mentally tough.
Yeah, I can imagine. Especially if you already don't like it.
Yes, exactly.
With having to train for five plus events, how do you schedule that? Do you spend some days with throwers, some days with sprinters? How does that work out at the college level?
So in high school, I kind of would go switch off between, I would go over, practice a little bit with the hurdlers, and then go over to the shot putters and then the high jumpers. But luckily in college, they've kind of figured out a way for me to get all my events in just kind of on, like in a good time frame still. So I'll practice from 9 to 11 every morning. And typically it's actually like more like 9 to 11:30 or 9 to 12, just because practice will take quite long sometimes, but we'll switch off with the events. So my coach knows all of the events, luckily, so I don't have to go switch between coaches, which is nice. So one day we'll do, let's say, we'll do hurdles, high jump, and shot put. And then the next day we'll do some speed work, some long jump, and some javelin. So it kind of works out, and we just kind of switch off each day, and then the training does take a kind of a lot out of your body because it's pretty tough, but our coaches do a really good job of knowing when to back off and knowing when we've done too much for one day. So yeah, it works out pretty well.
That's good. It always helps when the coaches have a good feel for where you're at.
Yeah, definitely.
How do you manage your mindset for each event? Because they can be so different. I mean, hurdles is so different than an 800, different than throwing and jumping. So how do you go about getting yourself ready for each of those events?
Yeah, I agree that it's very different for each event. I'm starting to kind of learn that. I think at first it was kind of difficult to compartmentalize each event. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, if you're doing a full pentathlon or a heptathlon, you'll do really bad in one event and you can't let that drag down your other events because you still have five more or whatever it may be. So I've learned that you kind of just gotta be very present and focus on that event and like focus on the now. Because if you're high jumping and you're worried about the hurdle race that you just had, it's gonna really mess with you. Also, during a multi, they'll announce like the place, like they'll say, like, these athletes are scored first, second, and third after this event. And then after high jump, they'll say, okay, she's in second place, she's in third place. And I think it's important to kind of just ignore that. Honestly, because for me, I know that will kind of mess with me if I know that I'm only, if I, let's say I'm in like fifth place or something, that'll make me a little bit nervous. So I've kind of learned to just ignore that and just focus on each event as a separate event. So.
That's awesome. That's probably the best, safest way to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
So you talked about having to kind of focus your mind and make sure you're not focusing on where everybody is and their placements and everything when they're announcing them. Did you feel like you had to do that in high school with like high jump, long jump? Because I know in that, you're a little bit more in tune because everybody's going through their flights, especially with high jump. And if somebody doesn't make it, there's only like four of you left.
I would say it was still a little mentally tough in high school, but it was different because all the events were open events. So I would really only be focusing on one event at a time. So I would go high jump, and then later in the meet, I would go run my 400, and then I would have time to rest and go do long jump. But now it's kind of back to back. So it's more important to be able to kind of put things behind you and focus on that specific event.
And talking about that mindset, you came off of some PRs in the pentathlon for indoors. Like I talked about, you had the All Mountain West honors. You had to have been feeling good getting ready for outdoors, and then it got canceled. How hard was that?
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was pretty tough, especially coming off of my recent success. I was very excited for outdoor. This was kind of my year of progression. Like last year, college was pretty tough to get used to, and I didn't really PR in anything. I kind of was just learning to do the Muay Thai, and I was pretty frustrated last year. And so coming with a year under my belt this year, I started noticing success almost at every meet, and I would get a new PR every meet, and it was really exciting. And then finishing it off well at the Mountain West, that was super exciting. So, yeah, I was excited for outdoor, and I was excited to see kind of what that would bring. But also, I guess it kind of gives me more time. I'm hoping that I'll be able to get an extra year of eligibility. So maybe be there for a fifth year at CSU and have more training under my belt. So if I'm able to do that, then this whole thing might be a blessing in disguise, which is good. But yeah, it's sad kind of to see all my teammates lose their season also. But I've still been training, and now it kind of just gives me more time for next year, so that might be good.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. In what I've seen so far is it looks like the NCAA is going to give this spring season back to those athletes that missed out. So hopefully that holds true.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it depends on each school also, so they're going to have to find a way to fund extra scholarships, basically, because they still have to fund the incoming freshmen, and then if we're going to have fifth year seniors, they're going to have to figure out how to financially pay for that. So I think for each school, it'll depend on what they want to do. And so I'm hoping CSU does it. We'll see.
And what's it been like having to change your classes to online classes?
Definitely a tough adjustment. I mean, I love going to class, actually. I love interacting with my teachers and being there. I'm getting used to it. I think at first I was very confused, and I definitely missed some assignments there at first. But my professors have been very good about it, and very understanding. And so I'm starting to get a hang of it right now. But at first, it was pretty tough.
Yeah,
But I
well.
think that's what we're all going through right now. I mean, the professors, I'm sure that's very hard for them, and every workplace right now is struggling with it. So we all gotta adapt.
Right. And you have experience adapting in many different ways.
Yes, I do adapt.
When you're standing on that starting line, you're getting ready for that race or that throw or that jump, what's going through your mind?
Typically nerves. I'm pretty nervous. But this year I've kind of learned how to meditate a little bit, which, I mean, people talk about it a lot, but nobody actually does it. And I've learned to kind of just take 10 deep breaths or 5 deep breaths and just like let go. And I think that really helps me. Like every time I've PR'd or like gotten a personal best in an event, it's when my headspace is very clear. So I've kind of learned to just breathe through it. I'm usually pretty nervous, but if you can learn to just kind of let it go a little bit, it really helps.
What keeps you excited about the sport of track and field?
I would say personal improvement. I think it's a very individual sport, and yes, we have our team and we all work together, but it really is mostly individual. It's like if you want to do better, then only like it's literally only up to you. It's not up to your teammates or your coaches. It's up to what you would like to do. So I think that's why I like it, just because I know that every hour of work that I put in is going towards myself and is going towards getting a new personal best, which is really rewarding. For example, in high jump, I hadn't gotten a personal best in like 2 years or 3 years. I jumped 5'6" in high school, like my junior year. And then for 3 years, I didn't get any higher than that. And so it can be frustrating. But then as soon as you get that new personal best, it's like, wow, like that was all worth it. It doesn't matter how long it took. It doesn't matter like how frustrated I was. It's like, well, I did it. So it's a fun sport. I love it.
What's been your biggest disappointment or struggle with running?
I would say, I mean, last year was kind of full of struggles for me. I think it's sometimes you think that a personal best or something will come through and you feel like you've been working really, really hard for it, and then it just doesn't. And I think that happens to so many track and field athletes all the time. Like, you can train and train and nothing will change sometimes. But then eventually it breaks through. So that's kind of what happened with me this year. But last year, definitely I faced some struggles and I was very frustrated. But I think that no matter how frustrating it can get, it still will, all your work that you're putting in will still pay off. So I think it's important to kind of just remember that. Remember, you're not doing all of the training for nothing. So yeah, I would say just kind of last year was a kind of struggle for me, but I've gotten over it quite a bit. So yeah.
That's good. And how did you stay motivated through that? Like, working towards those improvements, not really seeing them, what kept you going?
I think a big part of it would be your circle and your teammates and your coaches. So my coaches I'm very lucky because they're very supportive, and I've had difficult coaches before, and it can be really hard on you if they're not supportive. But my coaches were very supportive, and I used to literally cry at practice, like a little freshman like me, just once a week, the tears would come out. And my coaches were very supportive. They were like, you're a freshman, you're new to this, like, you're new to being a multi-event athlete, like, it's going to be okay. And my teammates were always there for me. So I think that's very important, is just having people who care about you and will continue to support you.
You talked about earlier, like, you had a really good feeling when you went and checked out CSU. Did you see something like that where you saw the team really supporting each other that made you really want to be there?
Yeah, I think I did see that. And I stayed there for the weekend and I watched some practices, and immediately as a visitor, I just felt loved. Like, everybody came up to me and talked to me, and everyone was very friendly. And I met the multi-event girls, and they seemed awesome. And they were doing a hard workout. They were doing like hills. And I was like, oh my gosh, this looks so hard. And I just remember them like cheering each other on. And like, I think it was like their last rep of this really difficult hill workout, and they were just cheering each other on. And it was very cool to see. And I think it's important to have teammates that support each other. And track can get very competitive. I mean, even within people on their own team, people can get very competitive with each other because they're fighting for a place or a conference spot or something. But what I saw is teammates kind of supporting each other, which was awesome.
Well, that's good. And like you said, it seems like it helped you get through that freshman struggle.
Definitely. Yeah.
It did. What do you think's been your biggest success in running so far?
I would say my most recent success, just kind of, I mean, concretely, probably my Mountain West placement that I did this year. But more abstractly, I think just being able to kind of overcome what I faced last year, switching to being a multi-eventer, that was very difficult. And so just being able to kind of stick it through and keep fighting, I think that was one of my bigger accomplishments. So
now that you're looking, instead of for outdoor and what's going to happen through that and more towards next year, what are your goals for this extended off season?
For the off season, just kind of to stay in shape and stay strong. I think more in high school, I would have the tendency of to be like, okay, it's off season. That means I'm not doing anything. But now it's kind of, I've just been more motivated in the off season, I guess, especially during this time, because I know that I could easily fall off and stop kind of seeing, I would maybe stop seeing the light at the end of the tunnel here, because it's such a long off season. But I guess just trying to stay motivated and still grinding, I think that's very important in this off season, especially because it's so long. And then just be ready for next year, whenever that may be.
Right.
Hopefully we'll be back to school in August, but we don't know. So
yeah, it's all up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, for distance runners, they have Strava and they can go on and see like, oh, this person went this far, this person did this. And I know I've seen a lot of kind of shorter distance or jumper type people who are, you know, they're posting the workouts that they're doing from home on Instagram. I saw you doing some, I think it was lunges the other day on your Instagram. And do you think that that helps motivate you to continue working out during this time? Or do you think sometimes it's like, wow, they're overdoing it and maybe I should take a day off?
I like seeing people's posts and their workouts from home because I think it's awesome. I'm like, you could easily just fall back into like not training and staying home and being unmotivated. But I think when you see other people at least trying to do something from home, like doing a little workout in their basement or going on a run outside their house, I think it's very motivating because it's hard to do that during this time. And luckily I've been able to kind of still use the La Cueva track here, which is nice. Most of my teammates don't have access to a track right now. And so I'll still go to the track and there's other people there. We just kind of keep our distance from each other, which is nice. But yeah, I like posting little home workouts and stuff like that. It helps me stay motivated. I hope that it helps other people stay motivated as well. And it's fun, I think, kind of learning to be creative with your workouts and stuff. So,
speaking of workouts, what's your favorite workout?
Okay, so most of my favorite workouts are probably the hardest workouts. So they're also not my favorite, but I like them because they're hard. I have a love-hate relationship with our 800 workouts, which we do quite rarely, just because as multis, we're kind of running enough at practice to where training for an 800 isn't really like what we need to do. But we do this one 800 workout and like, it is so difficult to get through like mentally. It's a 600 and then you have, I think like a minute rest and then you run a 200 and then you have a minute rest and you run another 200. And it is so freaking tough, but that's kind of why I like it. I mean, obviously like the day of that I have to do it, I'm like kind of pissed off and I'm like, I don't want to do this. But then as soon as I finish that workout, I feel so rewarded and happy that I did it. So I think that's a good one.
I like that workout. I give that one to my 800 runners as well.
Oh, it's tough.
They get a little bit more rest in high school, but yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's a good one.
All right. My last question for you is, what is your go-to song for getting motivated, pumped, whatever, however you want to put it?
I would say anything like old Kanye West, but as far as specific songs, Like Heartless, Kanye West is a good one. Maybe Can't Tell Me Nothing is a good one. I always listen to Kanye, like, before I compete. Power is also a good one.
Just anything by him will get you going.
His old Kanye, not old. New Kanye. Yeah. New Kanye, no thank you. Old Kanye, though, I appreciate it.
He's gone a little weird, I think.
He's definitely got a little bit weird. It's okay.
You know, before I let you go, is there anything else you want to say?
Maybe to future runners, just, or like high schoolers, I would suggest just trying as many events as you can, because you never know what you might be good at. If there's any high school runners listening to this. And just thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to be on here. It's been fun. Thank you for taking the time to join me today. If you can, please rate and review, but most importantly, spread the word so we can grow this community. If you know of any runners that deserve a shout out or should be interviewed, or you just want to share your runs and connect with other people, use the hashtag RunningNM on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at RunningNM on both these platforms. If you prefer to reach out by email, you can find me at runningnewmexico@gmail.com. Music was provided by Philip Friedman. You can follow him on SoundCloud under DJ Teach. And until next time, keep running, New Mexico.